Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster of Spring 2019. Again, I recommend to you that you contact them at chapel@mountzion.org and order your own copy of the Free Grace Broadcaster. It is totally free. They will send it to you every quarter. Today's, this quarter, is the theme is radical depravity, and we're talking about how sinful we really are and have been, and visiting various men of God as they have spoken about this over the years. John Flavel lived from 1630 to 1691. He was an English Presbyterian minister, born in England in the UK, 1630 to 1691. This is based on the text of John 6:44. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let us consider the marvelous way and manner in which the Lord draws the souls of poor sinners to Jesus Christ. And you'll find he does it, number one, gradually, number two, congruously, that is, in a manner that fits the circumstances or suitable, and three, powerfully, four, effectually, and five, finally. First, this blessed work is carried on by the Spirit gradually. It brings the soul step by step in the due method and order of the gospel to Christ. Illumination, conviction, compunction, they prepare the way to Christ. And then faith unites the soul to him. Without humiliation, there can be no faith. You repented not afterward, said Jesus, that you might believe him, Matthew 21:32. It is the burdensome sense of sin that brings the soul to Christ for rest. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, Matthew 11:28. But without conviction, there can be no compunction, no humiliation. He that is not convinced of his sin and misery never bewails it nor mourns for it. Never was there one tear of true repentance seen to drop from the eye of an unconvinced sinner. And without illumination there can be no conviction. For what is conviction but the application of the light that is in the understanding or mind of a man to his heart and conscience? Acts 2:37. In this order, therefore, the Spirit ordinarily draws souls to Christ. He shines into their minds by illumination, applies that light to their consciences by effectual conviction, breaks and wounds their hearts for sin in remorse, and then moves the will to embrace and close with Christ in the way of faith for life and salvation. Secondly, he draws sinners to Christ congruously and very agreeably to the nature and way of man. And so he speaks in Hosea 11:4, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Not as beasts are drawn, but as men are inclined and wrought to compliance by rational conviction of their judgments and powerful persuasion of their wills. The minds of sinners are naturally blinded by ignorance, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And their affections are bewitched to their lusts, Galatians 3:4. While it is thus, no arguments or entreaties can possibly prevail to bring them off from the ways of sin to Christ. The way, therefore, that the Lord takes to win and draw them to Christ is by rectifying their false apprehensions and showing them infinitely more good in Christ than in the creature and in their lusts. Yes, by satisfying their understandings that there is goodness enough in Jesus Christ to whom he is drawing them. Thirdly, the drawings of the Father are very powerful. The arm of the Lord is revealed in this work. It was a powerful word indeed that made the light at first shine out of darkness and no less power is required to make it shine into our hearts, 2 Corinthians 5:14. That day in which the soul is made willing to come to Christ is called the day of his power, Psalm 110, verse 3. The scripture expresses the work of conversion by a threefold metaphor, that of a resurrection from the dead, Romans 4:4, that of creation, Ephesians 2:10, and that of victory or conquest, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. All these set forth the infinite power of God in this work, for no less than almighty power is required to each of them. And if you strictly examine the distinct notions, you shall find the power of God more and more illustriously displayed in each of them. Let the soul whom the Father draws struggle and resist as much as it can, it shall come, yea, and come willingly too, when the drawing power of God is upon it. Oh, the self-conflicts, the contrary resolves with which the soul finds itself distracted and rent asunder, the hopes and fears, the encouragements and discouragements, they will and they will not. But victorious grace conquers all opposition at last. And certainly if we consider how deep the soul is rooted by natural inclination and long-continued custom in sin, how extremely hostile it is to the ways of strict godliness and mortification, how Satan, that hateful enemy, that strong man armed, fortifies the soul to defend his possession against Christ and entrenches himself in the understanding, the will, the affections by deep-rooted prejudices against Christ and holiness. Why, it's a wonder. A wonder of wonders to see a soul quitting all its beloved lusts and fleshly interests and endearments and coming willingly under Christ's yoke. Fourthly, the drawings of God are very effectual. There is indeed a common and ineffectual work upon hypocrites and apostates, called in Scripture a morning cloud and early dew. Well, these may believe for a time and fall away at last. Their wills may be half won. They may be drawn halfway to Christ and return again. So it was with Agrippa. Almost, within a very little, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But in God's elected ones, it is effectual. Their wills are not only almost, but altogether persuaded to embrace Christ and quit the ways of sin, no matter how pleasant, gainful, and dear soever they have been to them. The Lord not only draws, but draws home those souls to Christ. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. It is confessed that in drawing home the very elect to Christ, there may be, and frequently are, many pauses, stands, and delays. They have convictions, affections, and resolutions stirring in them, which, like early blossoms, seem to be nipped and die away again. There is frequently, in young ones especially, a hopeful appearance of grace. They make conscience of avoiding sins and performing duties. They have sometimes great awakenings under the word. They are observed to retire for meditation and prayer. They delight to be in the company of Christians. But after all this, youthful lusts and vanities are found to stifle and choke these hopeful beginnings, and the work seems to stand, it may be some years, at a pause. However, at last the Lord makes it victorious over all opposition and sets it home with power upon their hearts. Fifthly, to conclude, those whom the Father draws to Christ, he draws them finally and forever. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They are so as to God the giver. He never repents that he hath called his people into the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus. And they are so on the believer's part. He is never sorry, whatever he afterwards meets with, that he has come to Christ. There is a time when Christians are drawn to Christ, but there shall never be a time in which they shall be drawn away from Christ. There is no plucking them out of the Father's hand. It was common to a proverb in the primitive times when they would express an impossibility to say, "You may as soon draw a Christian from Christ as do it." When Christ asked that question of the disciples, "Will you also go away?" said Peter, "In the name of them all, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." They who are thus drawn do with full purpose of heart cleave unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Short but very important for us. It's from a book called The Whole Works of the Reverend John Flavel, Volume 2. You can find that at the W. Baines and Son. It was written back in 1820, and that's from pages 74 and 75. John Flavel, God bless what he has done for us. Well, that's it for this week. For those who are with me in real time, I want to thank you for coming to the Hackberry House. I do hope that in the days that I am not there, the next couple, that you'll be looking around the website. Anybody can do this. Works of several great men of God are there besides Flavel. We've got Spurgeon and Luther, and there's just a whole list. Just click on the word series. You'll get an idea of what's on that site. Over 2,500, I believe, different audios that are there now. Don't forget to look for the North Korea audio so that you can pray for that country. If you're concerned about Islam, why don't you study the Quran yourself with me right here online? Don't know about this Muhammad? I've studied him too. Studied Bible prophecy and share it with you. Do look and check those things out. I've got another website called FaulknerTales.com. I've got books that you can buy just by clicking on store there at the website. And I've got a new blog that was born recently. You may remember the Greater Than Solomon series that we just put on Sermon Audio. You'll want to come around to the blog. Some of that information is repeated, but there's going to be new information about this whole issue of Christians and child abuse, and sometimes Christians in ministries who, by wrong policies, actually commit child abuse. It's a growing problem among us, and we need, as a church, to look at ourselves and judge ourselves so that we won't be judged, because the world will come after us eventually and try to shut us down in the different things that we're doing. Let's judge ourselves. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. By the way, I didn't tell you the web page, did I? If you would look under, well, it would be hard for you to find it. I better write that down here. It's www.teengulag. That's the name of it. Teen Gulag. TeenGulag.com. www.teengulag.com. I hope you look it over and write a comment there when you go, and just check me out. As always, I like your comments, and I like it when you give them in love. And I do respond, believe it or not, to what you have been saying through the years. God bless you all. Bye-bye.